Good morning. Thank you for that song. It was beautiful and so appropriate. Thank you. I want to begin this morning by reading our scripture passage, which is found in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 through 15. And I'd like to read that passage. Please follow along with me as I read. Genesis 45, verses 1 through 15. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants. And he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers, and he wept so loudly that Egyptians heard him. And the Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourself for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been a famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it is not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and said to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children, and your grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all of you. I will provide for you, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household will, and all who belong will become destitute. You can see for yourself, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who I am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded me in Egypt and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly." Then he threw his arm around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him, weeping. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterwards, his brothers talked with him. This morning's message, I wrote it for my sister and my brother-in-law, Ken. They're not here today, but maybe they're watching online, and maybe they'll watch this when it's uploaded. But I hope it'll bring a sense of encouragement and hope to them during this difficult time. This past Tuesday, my sister and my brother-in-law, along with tens and thousands of others around Los Angeles, suffered a heartbreaking loss that words can hardly describe. Their home, a place with so much memories and years of shared history, was destroyed in the Pacific Palisade fire. Now, this wasn't just a home. It was where her children grew up, where casual Sunday visits turned into cherished moments. I think there's a picture of our family, if you can pull that up. It is a place where milestones were celebrated. It was the heart of our family gathering on Christmas Eve, where traditions were created and treasured memories were shared year after year. This is a picture of one of those Christmases that we were together. It is also where we celebrated my mother's 89th birthday, her last, and where my sister cared for her during her final years, transforming the house into a place of care and love. They had dreams and plans. They were retired, and it was a place that they had envisioned spending their retirement. They were surrounded by neighbors who have become family, and now in an instant, that it is all gone. The memories remain, but the physical reminder, the space that carried the weight of so much life has been reduced to ashes. You know, loss like this is disorienting as I'm thinking about them. That it leaves you feeling as though you are lost in an unfamiliar space. Unsure of the path forward. Whether it is a home, a relationship, or a cherished dream, these moments forces us to confront just how fragile life really is. I can imagine the question that they are asking right now. Is that do we have the strength to rebuild? Will our pain heal? Or is a new beginning even possible? Over the last few days, the question that I have been asked most by others is, how are they doing? And honestly, they are surprisingly in good spirits, given the circumstances. My sister shared with me the other night that in moments like this reminded them of their wedding vows. To have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for rich, or for poor, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us apart. That even in the darkest times of their lives, they found comfort in the fact that they have each other. Last night when my sister hugged her husband, he suddenly burst out laughing. My sister was confused and she asked, "What is so funny?" And he smiled and said that I have never been hugged by a homeless woman before. I thought it was pretty funny. Yet it was heartwarming to see that they can find a moment of joy and laughter amid their loss. All of this reminds me the story of Joseph, a man who also experienced profound loss, but chose to respond with forgiveness and in faith. As we begin this new year, Joseph's story challenges us to release the past and embrace what God has prepared for us. It is a story of forgiveness, restoration, and surprising ways God can bring blessings to all of us, even in the midst of our suffering. I know you are all familiar with the story of Joseph, but I'd like to give you just a brief background of the story. You see, Joseph's story began as the youngest of 12 brothers. And he is the favorite son of Jacob. And his father gave him a colorful robe. His father's love and the dream God gave him, that dream predicted that the role God has planned for him to become a leader who will save his family in a nation during a severe famine. However, his brothers interpreted the dreams as arrogance and favoritism from Jacob and became very jealous of Joseph. So they stripped him of his robe, they threw him into a pit, and ultimately they sold Joseph into slavery in Egypt. As a young boy, Joseph's world was turned upside down, and he was torn away from his family. His freedom was taken away, as well as his future. While in Egypt, Joseph faced many trials, including being falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and was thrown into prison. And yet through it all, God's presence never left him. God was with Joseph, granting him favors even in his darkest places. Over time, Joseph rose to a position of power as Pharaoh's right-hand person, responsible for managing resources during a severe famine in the land. Years later, when Joseph stood before his brothers as the powerful governor of Egypt, he had every opportunity to seek revenge for the betrayal that had once shattered his life. But instead, as we read, he chose a path of grace and forgiveness. Revealing his identity, Joseph said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt, and now do not be distressed." It was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. You see, Joseph's forgiveness wasn't just for his brothers, but it was also for himself. By letting go of bitterness, he made room for healing and allowed God's greater purpose to unfold. Forgiveness doesn't erase the past, but it frees us from its control, enabling us to walk in the freedom and purpose of God instead. It was through forgiveness Joseph not only restored his relationship with his brothers, but also demonstrated how God's sovereignty can redeem every wounds that we experience and begin to experience the greater plan that God has for us. As important as this moment was for Joseph and his brothers, I want to spend our time this morning taking you back 7 years before this. Before Joseph's emotional reunion with his brothers, there was a pivotal moment of healing and transformation in Joseph's life, which we very seldom talk about. And this moment was the birth of his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. These two names are deeply significant as they tell the story of Joseph's journey from pain to forgiveness and from suffering to fruitfulness. This period of in Joseph's life shows us that God was preparing his heart for the reconciliation that was to come. God was working in his life, helping Joseph heal from his past and equipping him to extend grace and forgiveness to his brothers. So let us take some time and look into the significance of these two names and how they demonstrate the connection between forgiveness and blessing in Joseph's story and as well as in our own lives. I'd like to read Genesis 41, verses 50 to 52 as we explore the significance of the two names, Manasseh and Ephraim. Genesis 41, 50 to 52. Before the years of the famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potiphar. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my troubles and all my father's household." The second son he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." Let's take the first name, Manasseh. When Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh, he said, "It is because God has made me forget all of my troubles and all my father's household." The name Manasseh means forgiveness. Forgiveness. It carries deep significance. It reflects Joseph's journey towards emotional and spiritual healing. Forgetting doesn't mean erasing the past or pretending that it never happened. It means the pain no longer controls your life. So by naming his son Manasseh, Joseph declares that God has healed the wounds of his past, allowing him to release the bitterness and the sorrow that he was experiencing, caused by his brother's betrayal and years of hardship. Manasseh's name invites us to trust God's power to bring freedom and healing into our lives. It reminds us that while we cannot write our history, we can release our plans to God, letting him replace it with peace and restoration. Manasseh is a call to forgive, not because the hurt was small, but it's because God's grace is greater. He named his second son Ephraim, which means blessing. It means blessing. Joseph said these words, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering," when he named his son Ephraim. The name Ephraim again means blessing. It reflects the incredible power that God has to transform even the most difficult circumstances into opportunity for growth and abundance. Despite enduring betrayal, slavery, imprisonment, in a foreign land, Joseph saw God's hand bringing purpose and fruitfulness into his life. Ephraim's name reminds us that God's blessings are not confined by our struggles. Even in our land of suffering, he is at work creating beauty, purpose, and abundance from our pain. It challenges us to recognize and embrace the fruitfulness that God is producing, even when life feels uncertain or difficult. The name Ephraim reminds us that God can turn trials into triumph and suffering into seasons of growth. There is a dual message between these two names, Manasseh and Ephraim. Forgiveness and blessing. Forgiveness and blessing. Together, the name Manasseh and Ephraim tells a story of what? It tells a story of transformation in the life of Joseph. A journey from pain to healing, from suffering to fruitfulness, from a place of forgiveness to one of abundant blessing. They symbolize the process God desires each and every one of us, showing us that the path to receiving his blessings begins with the act of letting go. Manasseh's name declares, "God has made me forget all of my troubles in my father's household." It speaks to the essential first step, which is forgiveness. Before Joseph can experience the fruitfulness represented by Ephraim, he needed to address the deep wounds of his past. The betrayal of his brothers, the pain of slavery, and the isolation of being in prison. But Joseph understood that holding on to bitterness or resentment can only chain him to the pain. In naming his son Manasseh, Joseph recognized that healing power of God's grace, which allow him to release the weight of his parts and step into freedom. Ephron's name proclaims that God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. Once forgiveness has cleared away, blessings can flow. The journey doesn't end when we let go of the past hurts. That's merely the foundation for God wants to build through us. Ephron's name signifies the blessings that comes when we trust God and turn our pain into purpose. For Joseph, it means that seeing the hand of God in his suffering, recognized that his trials position him to save lives during the famine. Ephron reminds us that God's blessings are not limited by our circumstances. They can flourish even in the place of hardship. The relationship between forgiveness and blessings is inseparable. Forgiveness, symbolizes by Manasseh, is what frees our hearts and receive the blessing represented by Ephron. Without forgiveness, bitterness and resentment will block us from experiencing the fullness of God's provision and purpose in our lives. In Joseph's story, we see that it teaches us that we cannot skip the step of forgiveness and go straight to blessings. Only when we surrender our pain and release those who have wronged us can we fully embrace the fullness and the fruitfulness God has for us. This dual message also reflects the rhythm of God's work in our lives. First, he heals us by helping us release the past. Then he blesses us, turning even our suffering into something beautiful. Manasseh and Ephron reminds us that God's transformation just doesn't stop at forgiveness, but moves forward towards fruitfulness. Joseph's journey is captured by this truth. By forgiving his brothers, he was free from the chains of bitterness and opens a door for reconciliation with his family. By trusting God through his suffering, he became a vessel of blessing for an entire nation. So together, the meaning of Manasseh and Ephron reveals a powerful spiritual principle. It is that the healing of forgiveness always precedes the harvest of blessing. When we let go of the pain of yesterday, we make room for the fruitfulness of today and the promise of God for tomorrow. Brothers and sisters, in your life, consider the dual message of these names. Is there a Manasseh moment where God is asking you to release the pain of the past? It is there an Ephron moment where God invites you to step into the blessings that he has prepared. Manasseh means let go. Ephron says, look ahead. Together, they tell the story of transformation, the story God wants to write in each of our lives. I want to share a little bit about just the personal reflection that I had from studying this story. In the midst of my sister's devastating loss, I find myself reflecting on the powerful truth that is in the name of Manasseh and Ephron. Losing a home, a place filled with memories, traditions, and dreams, is absolutely heartbreaking. It feels like the ground has been pulled out from under you and leaving a void that no material things can fill. Yet even in the moments of deep pain, I am reminded of God's ability to bring restoration, not just in rebuilding of material things, but in strengthening our faith and fostering resilience and opening doors to new beginnings. Joseph's story offers hope in situations just like this. His suffering, his betrayal, his slavery, the false accusations, the years of waiting in prison was not the end of his story. Through God's faithfulness, those trials were transformed into blessings, not just for him, but for his family, for the entire nation. It is a reminder that what feels like devastation today can become the foundation for something greater tomorrow. God doesn't waste our pain. Instead, he weaves it into a new plan. I believe the same for my sister and my brother-in-law, Ken. Well, the loss of their home is a profound and physical pain that I don't even know how to experience, right? That you have to be in that situation to really understand. But I trust that God is already at work in this situation, even when we cannot see it. He is the God who brings beauty from ashes and joy from mourning. Through this tragedy, I believe that he will deepen my sister's and Ken's faith, strengthen their spirit, and guide them towards a future filled with hope and renewal. Manessa teaches us to let go of the pain of the past. And Ephraim reminds us God's promise to bring fruitfulness even in the land of our suffering. In this loss, I see the invitation to walk this same journey, to release the heartbreak into God's hand, to trust that he will bring forth blessings in his time and in his way. Brothers and sisters, restorations may not come overnight. And it might not look like what we had expected, but I hold on to the assurance that God is faithful to his promise. As I reflect on this, I also see the resilience and strength in my sister and her husband. The same quality that Joseph displayed as he trusts God through unimaginable hardship. They are surrounded by a community that loves them and a God who has not abandoned them. Just as Joseph's suffering was not wasted, I believe this loss, as painful as it is, it will also bear fruit in unexpected and beautiful ways, which results in new beginning, renewed hope, and a deeper faith to what is to come. This journey is a reminder for all of us that in the midst of loss and uncertainty, God is still at work, weaving his plans for restoration and blessing, even in the ashes of what once was. He is creating something new. Brothers and sisters, what are the ashes in your life as you enter this new year? Like Joseph, you may feel as though that you are in the land of suffering, but God's promise is that he can bring fruitfulness even here. Ask yourself, what new blessings is God preparing for me in this new season? I want to encourage you to trust God's plan for this new year. Joseph's story is a reminder that God's plan often unfolds in ways that we cannot see. What his brothers meant for harm, God used for good. Similarly, the new year offers us a chance to trust God with the uncertainties ahead. In Isaiah 43:18-19, it says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not see it?" God is always at work, creating new possibilities and bring beauty out of brokenness, just as he turned Joseph's pain into legacy of fruitfulness. I believe that God can do the same thing for us. Trusting God doesn't mean that we won't grieve or struggle. It means that we cling to the promise that he is with us, that his plan is good. And I believe that the God who is faithful in the past will continue to be faithful today and tomorrow. What does I look like? What does it look like to trust God in this new year? For us, it means letting go of fear, embracing faith, and believing that he is making all things new, even when the path is unclear. That we can rest in the assurance that God's plan is at work in our lives. As we close this morning, Joseph's story is a story of redemption. It's a story of healing and a story of hope. It teaches that forgiveness is the key to moving forward, and God's blessing can emerge even from our greatest trials. As we face this new year, let us embrace the spirit of Manasseh and Ephraim, forgetting what's behind and believing in God's fruitfulness ahead. My sister's loss reminds me that life is fragile, but God's faithfulness is steadfast. Just as he was with Joseph in the pit, in the prison, in the palace, he is with us in every season. Let's walk into this year with hope, trusting that God is making all things new. Amen. Can you join me in prayer as we prayed for all the people that were affected by what happened this week in LA? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the example of Joseph, who demonstrated the transformative power of forgiveness and the blessing that flows from trusting in you. Father, help us to release the burdens of the past and embrace your healing and walk into this new year with renewed faith and expectancy, knowing that you are with us in every season of life. Today, we lift up all those who have suffered loss in the fires in LA this week. For my sister and the countless of others who have lost homes, possessions, and places filled with memories, we ask for your comfort, your peace, and your provision. We pray that you wrap them in your love during this time of grief and a time of uncertainty. Provide them the strength to rebuild and the hope to move forward, trusting in your faithfulness. Father, we also pray for all of those who has been displaced, the families, the children, who feels the weight of uncertainty, and for communities that are grieving together. May they find support in one another and for all those that you will send to help. For the firefighters, first responders, and volunteers who have worked tirelessly, we ask for your protection and your blessings over them as they continue to serve others in the midst of this crisis. Lord, let this time of loss be a time when your presence is felt in very, very real and powerful ways. Remind us all that you are the God who brings beauty from ashes and restoration from devastation. Use this tragedy to draw hearts close to you and show your faithfulness in ways that we cannot see or imagine. That it is in Jesus' name we pray.